From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
I'm Storm, and we'll be talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. Okay, it is Tuesday evening, December 22nd, 2009. It's just me, as you know by now. It is show 068. It is also part two of Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire. So if you're not in for a reading of a chapter of a book, you can just tune out right now. No harm, no foul. Just a couple of caretaking things so we can legitimately call this a podcast. Okay, 260 minions and the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. The brigade becomes mightier and mightier with every day, and soon we'll do something, and it'll be great. All right, Merry Christmas. We said Happy Hanukkah last week. And the holidays, they roll along. It is a white Christmas for Paul and I. We did get dumped on with the 2 feet of snow, and that was pretty all right. It actually helped us bear down on our project, It Might Be Christmas, which rolls along. We now have 7 songs completed with that. Maybe I'll put one at the end of the story. So look for that. And let's get right to it then. Part two of Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire. Now, I say vampire because it seems that I was not following through with the author's original intent. You will recall that I found these pages on the sidewalk near my house. And I've subsequently received 6 additional segments. In fact, it's sort of becoming a thing. Not like a personal thing, just like an ongoing thing. And it's been made known to me because the author has been listening to our podcast since I've started publishing these chapters. And she did not intend it to be said as vampire, but vampire, because that's, as she says, the real way and how they are meant to be. And they get very sad and pouty if you don't pronounce their kind the proper way. Anyway, and when we last left Emily, she was just heading out from her house with Charlie Bannister, who, of course, is Night Finn Daggerheart in disguise. Okay, here we go. Part two. Editor's note, this installment was written in a different color ink, apparently at a later time than the first one. And there were no other chapters in the Trapper Keeper. This one was in the original Trapper Keeper. Okay. The sweet air was all around them as Emily and Night Finn walked in towards a smoky evening. They didn't exchange any words, but Emily knew they totally didn't need to. And even the trees were singing, just for them and them alone. The sky was turning a dark, indigent blue. When they were way down the street, Night Finn took off his Charlie glasses. He'd been wearing glasses to make himself look like a doofus. And suddenly the full fists of his sexiness hit Emily in her mind's jelly guts. Suddenly she wished she really was just going bowling with stupid Jessica or something. And she worried about Night Finn's tongue. I thought we could just, you know, walk around and stuff, said Night Finn. And Emily sighed a big sigh of relief. That sounds cool, I guess, said Emily, who was trying to be all blasé instead of spazzing out like the dummy she usually was. Check this out, said Night Finn, who then did like 20 backsprings right down the middle of the street, but sexy. And Emily was amazed by his limbers and stood there like a dum-dum. Nightfin waved to her from way down the street, where his hair and black coat waved in some sort of unseen wind. "Join me. Come. You can do it," he said. But Emily wasn't so sure. I mean, gymnastics was the thing she was easily worst at and totally hated, and she always tried to act sick or something when it came up in gym class, but the stupid gym teacher always made her do it anyway. I don't think I can, said Emily, glancing down at the ground and looking very pretty. If only she could see herself through other eyes. I believe in you, Emily Smithington, said Nightfin Daggerheart. And suddenly Emily was filled with some kind of kooky power flow feeling, like when you're on a swing and going up really fast. Okay, I'll try, she said. Emily turned her back to the sturdy standing Nightfin, scrunched up her eyes, and thought about back springs and swing sets. And suddenly she was completely flipping around, backwards, and through the breezy air. She thought she'd get dizzy or fart, but she didn't, and totally did 20 back springs. And on the last one, she felt an even bigger mega boost, and she went way up in the air and did this flippy thing and landed right in front of Nightfin, who was totally surprised. Wow, he said. He was trying to act all blasé, but Emily knew she'd totally blown him away. You really could be the one. Huh? What do you mean? Said Emily, who knew, but kind of didn't know, you know? Nothing, said Nightfin, who was now back to being nothing but sexy and blasé. Then he got this wicked smile on his face, and Emily got this terrible feeling, like a train was going to jump the tracks and onto her. Let's go get some ice cream. All right, scrolling. Here we go. There's a little symbol that she drew in there, the one with the unicorn. It's really cute. Okay. All the way to the softy cold, Emily wanted to hide into a manhole or something. Would Nightfin still think she was okay if he found out? She wanted her feet to be going backwards, not forwards, but her direction was not hers and hers alone to make, and before you knew it, they were there. I love ice cream, said Nightfin, who was all licking his lips, making him look like a hungry model or something. Yeah, ice cream's pretty wow awesome, said Emily. Oh no! She was totally losing it and talking like a dork. I mean, yeah, it's pretty blasé. Give us 2 chocolate ice creams, Nick, said Nightfin to the boy behind the counter, who was also totally cute. And sort of sexy, but not as sexy as Nightfin, to Emily. I mean, Ashley might have thought he was way more sexy, which was fine and all, but Nightfin was the real sexy one, so Ashley could have the new boy, if she wanted. On the house, Charlie, said Nick, who probably wasn't really named Nick, we're thinking. Nightfin's blue eyes looked at his so very brown ice cream, and his tongue licked at it all swirly. Emily gulped and stood there being nervous with her stupid ice cream cone. Mmm, said Nightfin, giving his ice cream another sexy lick. Emily noticed that his teeth were really, really white and totally perfect, which she certainly admired. It's so good. Why haven't you had yours yet? Did you want a bigger one with more milk in it? Nick, give her a bigger one. No, Charlie, said Emily, who barely remembered that no one was supposed to know his real name. A dark, sad cloud swept over her soul and heart, for she knew she had to tell Nightfin the inconvenient truth, and that their love could never be, and that her life was just as stupid as she thought it was. What's wrong? Said Nightfin, who didn't look sexy or wicked or mean at all at the moment, but looked really concerned and sort of sad too, which was kind of sexy. And Emily knew that she could tell him anything. She gulped another bunch of breath and decided to plunge her words for both of them. "I can't eat dairy," she said, bracing herself as she waited for her soulmate to spurn her blossoms for eternity. "I'm lactose intolerant." But to Emily's wholesome surprise, Nightfin smiled and put his hand around hers, which was around the ice cream cone, in which lay the deliciously damning nourishment. "Yes, you can," he said. And Emily's stomach started to go all tingly. She looked into his eyes, which were now ever so azurous, but her level of brave was smaller still. "But if I eat it, then later..." "You won't fart tonight, Emily Smithington-son," he said. And it was like a big sigh. "And I wouldn't care if you did. It smells different, too." And he looked over at the guy that Nightfin called Nick. He's actually named True Dude. Who nodded like they were in on some kind of plan. "Our kind," finished Nightfin, who then pushed the ice cream up to Emily's lips. And Emily licked it, and it tasted sweet and milky, but like it was from another planet or some other unbeknownst place. And she ate it and ate it and ate it, and Nightfin held her hand on the cone so warmly, and he smiled as she devoured the cone nectar like he was the kindest person ever, but not like he wasn't still sexy, because he most dubiously still was. And it was his first gift to her to share. "Okay, you two," said Nick, who was sort of acting annoyed, but was really probably just joshing them, and was actually pretty happy for them. Then he gave Nightfin a very morbid look, which would have driven Ashley nuts, but she wasn't there. "I think it's time that she knows." "Yes," said Nightfin, letting go of Emily's creamy hand with drama. "Let us walk." All right, there's another one of those little symbols in there. Oh, and my wife is approaching with some hot cocoa, so excuse me a moment. Just think about how sexy that last scene was, and tell you what, I'll prepare some discussion questions, and you can fill those out. Thank you. She's laughing her ass off at me. All right. Oh, it smells good. In fact, you might want to pause right now and get yourself some hot cocoa. Okay, here we go. I'll wait. Before she even knew it, Emily's feet tread them into the woods where she used to hide when she was just a stupid little girl. And for a moment she thought, "No, I can't take him here." And she worried about Nightfin's tongue again, but knew she knew at that moment that she was totally safe and it wasn't creepy at all. Then she was all confused, probably because it was pretty dark or something, and she didn't remember how to get to her hiding place, or back to the softy cold, or back home, or anywhere. "Shh," swam Nightfin's voice into Emily's auditory canal. "We're here." Emily looked into Nightfin's indigent eyes and tried to ask him an infinite quantity of questions, just with her eyes only. How did he know about her secret place? What? Who? Why? "Shh," coursed Nightfin's voice over her hair and soft cheek, which truly was pretty. "I know you have a lot of questions, which is why I let you bring me here." Then suddenly, for some reason, Emily was so mad. She was just like his pawny plaything then, was she? Had she just been leading him around on a chain that was in all actuality wrapped around her own truly pretty neck and looped back in a way so that he was actually holding it? First you listen to me, Night Finn Bannister's stupid guy, or whatever your lame-o name is. She spat in a huffly, turning away and acting as blasé as she could. It really, really felt, really. Maybe I'd rather not ask you any dumb questions. Maybe you're the dumb and don't know anything. You and your stupid, stupid blue eyes. A hand caught her hand. And the hand was his hand, and he pulled her around, and she sort of twirled around, and probably looked really graceful and pretty, though she'd never even practiced doing that kind of thing in the mirror or anything. "You're right," said Night Finn. "But if my eyes are stupid, it's because they're stupid for you." Emily wished she could shatter all of her stone words with a big chisel of feelings. And her heart became an ocean of delicious, melty ice cream, and she collapsed into his torso. "There, there, sweetly one," said Night Finn. "You are no toy, not for me nor anyone, of moral heritage or no. I would challenge any such who said so, but only if it were your wish, from respect. So you must not cry."
I won't.
"Good, good," said Night Finn. "For tears so delicious cannot ever be. Lest the perils," he said mysteriously, as he glanced so sexishly away.
"I don't understand," said Emily, breaking herself apart from him.
"I don't either," said Night Finn, who turned his head briskly away to the side and down, and looked importantly gothic and blasé. "But I think it's time that you know more about my kind." Thus concludes part 2 of Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire. I hope this was a pleasant diversion for you. I hope I pressed play on the recorder. It appears I did. I think it recorded. Well, anyway, we'll both see you next week. That is Paul and I. Go to paulandstorm.com to find lots of cool diversions and to join the Brigade of Minions and to read, if you're into that kind of thing, the advanced chapters, and then you can ponder later how it will be vocally interpreted. So until then, I'm Storm. And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. Go do things.
Today we sing the praises of December 23rd, although it's not a holiday per se. It's just the day that is the day before the day before the day that is the best day in the world. The 24th is Christmas Eve, the 25th is Christmas, and the 26th is Boxing Day and marks the feast of Stephen. But the 23rd is mostly spent just marking time until the Earth rotates around its axis once again. Today we sing the praises of December 23rd. Though no one else would seem to give a damn. It's just the day that is the day before the day before the day that is the best day in the world. Too late for office parties and you're done with Secret Santa, but too early to go driving off to Grandma's through the snow. And metaphorically speaking, it's the next to last minute, so you still have one more shopping day to go. Today we sing the praises of December 23rd, 'cause if we don't, nobody ever will. It's just the day that is the day before the day before the day that is the best day in the world. It's just the day that is the day before the day before the day that is the best day in the world.